Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again that you have found us in our brokenness, in our sin and death, and you have redeemed us and freed us by completing the law for us. Bless us now that we might continue to serve others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear saints, hear the words of Jesus at the very beginning of the gospel reading for today. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What is it that Jesus wants us to see in the gospel reading for today? It's a worthy question for us to ask, because if we get the answer wrong, it will mean that our hope is taken from us. If we get the answer wrong, this parable becomes another of the requirements that God gives to us that we will fail at. If we see this parable incorrectly, you will try to be the Savior and you will fail miserably. The lawyer there in the parable for today gave the right answer when Jesus asked him, "How do you read the law?" He knew the law. And he answered correctly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We give that response all the time here when I ask you about the law of God. What does it require of us? Love God and love your neighbor. We answer it the same way that the lawyer did. And Jesus' response back to the lawyer was, do this and you will live. Is that what Jesus wants us to see in the parable? Go love your neighbor. Go work in a soup kitchen. Go with Pastor Sutton to the reservation and serve down there for a few weeks. Go be a missionary. Go do something more. Love your neighbor. For so many people, when they hear this parable, that's all they hear. Go do this. Go love your neighbor. The only thing that they hear is go and do this, and that will make you a better person. Go help somebody. Go serve someone. Go, go, go. It sounds an awful lot like law, doesn't it? When God tells us to do something. Anytime we hear a statement like go or do this or you shall not from God's word, it's a law statement. It expects whatever it says for us to do, that we will do it. And we'll do it completely, and we'll do it perfectly. When Jesus says, do this and you will live, he's saying, love God perfectly. That shouldn't come as a surprise to us. But he's also saying, no despising of God's word, no false gods, not even once. Do this and you will live. Go love your neighbor, all of them. Not just the ones close to you, not just the ones you choose, not just the ones you like. Go love your neighbor perfectly and completely. Do this and you will live. But if you fail even once, if you fall even once to a false god, if you despise God's word even one time, if you have driven by one homeless person there and you didn't stop to help, you are guilty of breaking all of the law. God's holy law is satisfied when it is done completely and when it is done perfectly. Jesus' answer to the lawyer's question was simply this: go ahead, try it. See if that works for you. See if you can keep it completely enough. Jesus wasn't trying to be sarcastic, but he was holding him accountable to the law that this man thought he could fulfill by loving his neighbor. Lord, who is my neighbor? Trying to narrow that field so the man could do it exactly, perfectly, and exactly right. And the law never leaves us off the hook. Love your neighbor. Love God. Completely and perfectly all the time. Simple as that. If you can do that, then you don't need church and you don't need a savior. But if you can't, if you've ever fallen to the law, even once, then hear what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. Does Jesus want us to see that in the parable? Go ahead and try and keep the law. Is that what he's getting at? Driving us to try harder, to do better, to go out and serve our neighbor more? Does he want us to see if being the Good Samaritan is enough to save you? No, not at all. That is not what our Lord wants us to see. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan to show us what it looks like when we are slaves to the law. The priest and the Levite, they both walked by the man on the road. And it wasn't that they didn't care. Sometimes we think that they didn't care about this man because he wasn't one of them. He was a Samaritan, but that wasn't it. The priest and the Levite both worked in the temple. The priest and the Levite were both under the law of serving God's people. And if they touched this man, if they touched blood or touched a dead person, they would be unclean. And they could not do their jobs. And they could not keep the law. It's kind of like if you're driving to work and you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire. You know the right thing to do is to stop and help them. And you want to stop and help them. But you also know if you're late for work again what your boss will do. And you can't. You don't stop. You keep going bound by the law. That's where the priest and the Levite were. They probably wanted to help the man, but the law urged them to keep going. By showing compassion for this man, the priest and the Levite would be breaking the law. Both the priest and the Levite, they feared breaking the law more than they wanted to show compassion for this beaten and bloody man on the side of the road. Any religion, any cult that points you to keeping the law of God for all, in all of its parts, for your salvation, for either part or all of your salvation, is ultimately going to leave you in two places. It's either going to leave you despising God and his holy law because you are simply incapable of keeping it perfectly, or it's going to leave you despairing. Seeing how many times you fail and that you can never get it right, and it seems like there's no hope. The Mormons, the Muslims, and a large number of Christian denominations take the certainty of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins away from their people by making it contingent on keeping the law. Go and do this, or don't do that. They do it out of duty, obligation, or responsibility of religion. And when we look to the law for part of our salvation, or all of our salvation, we're placing the responsibility for forgiveness on ourselves. You keep the law. You do this. There are two great errors that people make when they read this parable. The first is they think that they can be saved by being good or by being compassionate. Jesus says, do this. If I love my neighbor, if I'm a good person, if I serve those around me, that will do it. That will be enough. And God will look at me and say, hey, great job. Thanks for loving your neighbor. And that will be salvation for you. The second problem is most people think they're the Good Samaritan. That I'm the one that can come and rescue you, and I can rescue that person, and I can bring them out of the depths, and I can be their savior. And both errors are wrong. The law of God accuses always. It doesn't leave anyone off the hook. Every time we hold up our good works, our self-sufficiency, our moral nature, the law says, that's not enough. And it punches us. Every time we put this, we're put in these impossible situations of trying to figure out how to go forward without offending or without breaking God's law, the law says, not my problem. And it sweeps the knee, broken and beaten by our inability and our unwillingness to keep the law. We are the ones dead and dying on the side of the road. And then comes Jesus, the Good Samaritan. And he sees you in your brokenness there. And he doesn't say to you, go and do better. He doesn't say to you who are dead, fix yourself and then you can be saved. He does the work for us. He keeps the law perfectly and then gives it to you as a gift so that you're free from the law, so that you're free from your sins. Jesus tells this parable to the lawyer so that he sees it's not about him. That loving God and loving neighbor is not something that we can do naturally on our own. It's a gift that God gives to us. And as he gives it to us, then we have gospel eyes to see our neighbor and to love our neighbor, not out of obligation to the law, but because we have been changed. Jesus tells this parable to this lawyer so that he has hope and he has healing. When the law points its long bony finger at you and it says guilty, Jesus steps in. And instead of letting the law point its finger at you, he says, accuse me. Jesus takes everything that the law has thrown upon you, and in his sinless, holy, completely perfect life, he takes our sin upon himself. Every time the law has accused you, every time you have fallen to a false god, every time that you have not loved your neighbor, Jesus takes those sins upon himself to the cross, and he dies for them. He takes all of our sin, all of our death, all of our condemnation, and he leaves us holy and healed. He has compassion on us. He has mercy for you. The law's demands are fulfilled completely by Jesus. He said from the cross to Tetelestai, it is finished. Your sin is finished. But also is the law's demands upon you, because Christ has fulfilled that demand with his perfect life given as a gift for you. In Jesus, the law that condemned you is fulfilled and you are forgiven. That's the best news that you will ever hear. You are forgiven. Jesus says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. When we see that our salvation is in Jesus, our Savior alone. He alone, through the cross, has rescued us and bound us up and healed us. Moralism that sees loving your neighbor as a way to make a better society or as a way to ease your conscience is not salvation and is not what Jesus points us to in this parable. Your own pride that thinks that I can bring heaven down somehow by my good works or raise my standing before God by serving my neighbor is not what Jesus wants you to see. That's the law working once again. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Jesus, who fulfills the law completely for you. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, that see Jesus reconciled for you, broken and beat up by our sins, the world, the devil, all pushing against us, trying to pull us away from the hope and the promise and the joy that we have in Christ. Blessed are you when by the gift of faith we gather here, we confess our sins clearly in front of our Savior and say, I've done it again. I've broken the law again, continually. And we trust that this Good Samaritan will raise us up and heal our wounds and forgive us, and he does. Blessed are you, Jesus says, because you hear what kings and rulers and people for centuries have longed to hear. Your Savior is born into this world, lived his life for you, died on the cross for you, has forgiven your sins, and lives again today. Dear saints, you are forgiven and free from the law that was completed for you by Jesus. Blessed are you that you see Jesus in the gospel. Better yet, blessed are you because you see Jesus is the gospel, is the good news for you. Jesus' death filled completely on the cross the law. His perfect life was offered as a ransom and a sacrifice for you. Now, because of that, because Jesus has found you on the side of the road and healed you and freed you from all of these things that will kill you, now you're free to love your neighbor. You see, it's different through the eyes of the gospel. The law says do this, and we can't do it well enough. And Jesus said, love your neighbor because I have made my love perfect and I've given it to you. And now send that to the one who needs help. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor because water in God's word has been placed upon you and he's connected you to Jesus' death, to his cross, and to your forgiveness. The blood that covers you, forgives you, justifies you, now gives you the ability to love your neighbor, not out of duty or obligation, but out of mercy and compassion. The same mercy and compassion that your Savior has showed to you. We've done this all kinds of times, and it fits so well here again. An apple tree produces, and an orange tree produces, and the Christian produces mercy and compassion. Not out of obligation, because it's who we are, raised in Christ to receive his forgiveness, but raised in Christ to love and serve our neighbor, and to hold them up, and to point them to the hope that we have in Jesus. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, that see Jesus as our good Samaritan. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.